Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi, everybody. This is Jenny Seek for Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. It seems that Blog Talk is having some difficulties recently. The other show that I do for the Intuitive Light community with the Intuitive Light community also was having some issues on Sunday, so it doesn't surprise me. But the show is I'm going to have the show tonight, and very excited to share with you some of the stuff that's coming up in my life, some of the exciting manifesting stories that are coming up, as well as a great way for you to work on manifesting in your own life. So I don't know if the actual music for the show popped up or not, because that's when I got cut off. So I hope that there was an intro. Let's see if we can play it now.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Anyway, thanks so much for bearing with me, and we just played that music a little bit out of order, but I'm opening up the chat room now, and then I will be sharing what's coming up on Inner Voice. We have a lot of really, really exciting guests coming up on Inner Voice. I was going to have Beth Martin tonight talking about the Break Free Festival. For folks who are new to the intuitive community, Tom Lesher is an amazing, amazing evolutionary astrologer who I had on my show, I guess it was about a year and a half ago now. Had a wonderful, wonderful, shared a wonderful hour with him, and he just does beautiful work. He's very, very well known. You can just type in Tom Lesher, evolutionary astrology. Now I believe he's going by Kaipacha, the name Kaipacha, into YouTube and see some just amazing videos. He has hooked up with Beth Martin, who him and her and many other folks are doing a break free festival for folks who are trying to break free from a more egoic way of living and start living in a more heart-centered way, in a more present-centered way. Look for their festival. I actually will be listening. It's a web-based festival, but it will be traveling around. I don't quite understand all of that yet, but am finding out about it presently. If you do want to connect on Facebook under Jenny Seek, that's my name, I will be posting videos of those stories, which are breakthrough stories, break-free stories, which have to do with people who have really recrafted their life around these heart-based principles, around this new way of being in the world, this more intuitive way, more heart-centered way of being. So I'm really looking forward to listening to some of those interviews with people and to presenting the information about those as well after I've listened to them. So for folks who are listening for the first time, I know we got off to a kind of bumpy start and it was kind of not as straightforward, but this is a forum for people who are interested in connecting with their intuition, their deep intuition, their inner voice, and also connecting with their deep unconscious. We know that when we connect with our unconscious, we're able to manifest magical things in our life. We're able to really honor our calling instead of just our vocation. And we often find that calling is multifaceted and has more than one thing that we're being asked by the universe to do. And now, right now, in this time period where there's a lot of fluctuating energy, we're all being called on to really, really connect with that deeper intuitive voice and to share those intuitive gifts and those creative gifts with the world so that we can create a world worth living in, worth sharing, worth carrying on. If you guys listen to the other program that I'm on, the Intuitive Light Community, which you should be, it's a wonderful, fabulous program. It's me and then three other heart-based entrepreneurs, Denise Divine D, Nuriel Exelaza, and JP Jackson. All of them have stories of courage where they kind of broke away from the dominant culture and kind of have come back to do this work in a very intuitive and heart-centered way. If you want to connect with that community, we've done about 6 shows. You can go to the Intuitive Light Community. You can also check us out on YouTube, but you can definitely join on Facebook, and that's a wonderful way to connect with heart-centered practitioners and to find a community. I think we're about 620 strong now of people who are really asking these questions about how to connect with the unconscious, how to work with dreams, what Reiki is, what channeling is, what chakras are all about. So if any of those kinds of topics interest you, this is a great forum where anybody can speak with anyone and can share information back and forth about what their stories have been. I'm really excited. We have something coming up called a fishbowl for folks who are working on building a heart-based business and working on manifesting their dreams in that way. In the next week, I probably will be posting how to share all of your links. The page is typically for people who are just working on growing their intuition, figuring out what that journey looks like and that sort of sharing, but periodically we'll be doing a fishbowl if it goes well. And a fishbowl is an opportunity for you to also share your links for your businesses, for your heart-based businesses, for your spiritual businesses and spiritual products. So if folks are interested in doing that, I will have information up about that within the next week, and probably within the next 2 weeks we will actually be doing that. So I'm really excited about that because, you know, in a more ego-based model, people have a lot of feelings about whether or not what they have to share is worth sharing. Is it big enough? Is it bold enough? This sort of thing. My goal with this fishbowl is for anybody at any place in their journey of developing a heart-based business or developing a new way of being in the world and being with themselves, being with their inner voice and wanting to share those gifts with other people, wherever you are, whether you have a huge platform and a ton of support and, you know, several tarot decks that you've created or books that you've written or whatever, or if you're just starting out. And sometimes, you know, beginner's mind and being in that place of the beginner is such a powerful place to be because we're not jaded by what we've bumped up against. So this is a community for you wherever you are on that journey, and however that comes to you. So I encourage you to check out the Intuitive Light Community. Check out our back shows. We just did one, the four of us just did one on blooming authentically, what it looks like to bloom and to become ourselves authentically and to share our gifts authentically. I did one on dreams a couple weeks back and how to recognize symbols of growth in dreams. I did it with a dear friend, Elle Kaysen, who's been on my show on Inner Voice before, talking a lot about palmistry, which is her greatest love, and we've also talked about dreams, and she just is just a wonderful, wise lady, a lot of fun too. So check those shows and those links out. I do want to tell you what's coming up on Inner Voice, and then I want to share with you some of the exciting stuff that is coming to me from Spirit recently. So look for Beth Martine. She will be on a future show talking about that wonderful Break Free Festival that's going around the United States and traveling. And I don't understand that piece of how it's traveling, but it is. Okay, on May 7th, I will have Michael Mates, who's and intuitive coach, Michael Mapes, has wonderful information to share for heart-based businesses, for people who want to be more intuitive. And I just love the way he presents his information, because he talks so much about, you know, how even if your normal way of being in the world isn't about being an intuitive practitioner per se, or you're not particularly, you haven't been particularly in the medical metaphysical field, that understanding our intuition and being able to tap into it helps us regardless of whether we're a banker, whether we're an artist, whether we're a mother, whether we're a teacher. It helps us to have more guidance in our life about what it is we're meant to do. So I just love the fact that he brings that out and he makes that so, so clear. And I've always believed that myself in my own work, that no matter where you are, some people have 9-to-5 jobs and that works very, very well for them. But even in that arena, we need our intuition in order to make good choices in our life and to honor the changes that we're going through in our life, because we don't come in a blank slate and we don't stay the same. Our needs change as we grow and as we change and interface with the world. So it's so important to understand that as we're changing, we have to listen to our changing intuition and be guided by that inner voice. So I'm really excited to have Michael on the show on May 7th. Then on May 14th, Sherry Malika Toth will be on. She, for CBUS folks, which is where I do this program from, she has a wonderful facility called Om to Om in Powell, Ohio, which is a wonderful place to go do workshops, to get body work done, to get healing work done, to get coaching work done. I think that we'll probably be doing some work together in the future. We've talked about that, maybe do some workshops out of there. But she's going to talk about her vision and her center and what this part of her journey has looked like. And that's called Om to Om. You can find that if you just type Om to Om in Google. May 21st, I will have Bonnie Chavez and I think his name is Josh Tesh. I'm going to look it up right now for you. But they have just written a really, really cool book on, it's called Seek Joy, Toss the Confetti, and it's all about happiness. And for people who have listened to my show before, you know that I'm really, really big on the idea that happiness is a choice to a certain extent. And people who come to work with me for intuitive counseling, we always get to the place where they say, you know, well, I'm not happy. They may say, I'm not happy, or I'm not experiencing as much joy as I could. And I always say, which wolf are you feeding? You know, are you feeding the energy of, you know, negativity? Are you feeding the energy of black and white thinking? Or are you feeding the energy of joy and excitement and adventure and curiosity? Because we have both of those wolves living in us. We have both of those energies in us. The one that wins is the one that we feed. And so it always gets to a place where I say, you know, to a certain extent, this is a choice. Sometimes I wake up grumpy. You know, sometimes things don't go my way. We're human beings, and we struggle, and we will. But that we have the opportunity to connect with people, align with people who open up our heart and open up our spirit and open up our soul. And that the more that we do that, the more that our life works in a way that's magical, and in a way that honors what Jung calls synchronicity, which is meaningful coincidences that happen to us that we can get excited and curious about. And so part of what I'm going to talk about this evening is some meaningful coincidences that have happened to me. And when we experience these meaningful coincidences, they show up in different ways for different people based on our own intuitive energy. Some of us will get meaningful flashes or visions or pictures in a very clairvoyant way. Some of us will get a feeling, a clairsentient feeling, what is called a felt sense, an experience of a great richness, a great vitality, a great ripeness around certain ideas and around certain images. And that is a very, very clairsentient way of getting energy and responses from our inner voice. Some of us will get clear hearing. We'll hear something that pops out from the background, and we'll hear it again and notice it again around certain kinds of ideas. Or when we may hear voices, you know, as long as we're somewhat grounded, we may hear a voice in our head that feels very, very powerful and very, very evocative. So these are all different ways. Or we can have claircognizance, clear knowing. That one happens to me a lot. That's where we just know what's going to happen. I would have that happen a lot with locations. When I was younger, I often knew where people lived without any map, or I knew that I was going to connect with energy in a particular place. I would walk down a street and I would feel a connecting energy, and then there would be a call from someone who wanted to get a session, and I would find out that they lived in that house. That's happened several times to me. And I get that sentience too a lot, that clear feeling. Recently, and this is what I'm going to talk about tonight, I got it around a place, and I often get it around places. If you guys are interested in energetic places and great places to know where the energy is high for you or where it's very, very amped up, I encourage you to go to Astro Dienst. I'm not sure exactly the spelling, but if you go to Astro D, I think it's I-E-N-S-T-D, and look up astrocartography, you can get a map of places that have energies that are elevated for you, and certain kind of karmic activities, certain meaningful events that will happen for you in these places. And that's a really, really powerful thing to do. Another thing you can do is you can notice places that you feel drawn to and then check. When I checked my astrocartography, many of the places that I had been drawn to and had made effort to get to were places that the things that I thought would happen there were indeed what the astrocartography said would happen there. I've had a vision for many years of spending time in New Mexico, in Taos, and I've gone through twice and stayed in a wonderful youth hostel called the Abominable Snow Mansion. And I often have visions of a lot of my women friends ending up there and living on a piece of land and living in a camper, in a mobile home, and kind of growing old there and growing into the nature there, into the rocks, into the experience of being wise and in that land. And ironically, when I went to the astrocartography site, that is what it says. It says that that area is very spiritually heightened for me, and that that would be a great place to retire and to set down roots in my older years. So just check in with what you intuitively are feeling drawn to, because there's some likelihood, especially when traveling, that if there's a place that you feel drawn to, you're already starting to put energies out into the universe around what needs to happen there, around the story that you want to tell once you get there. So that's kind of a fun little story, and I'm sure I will be exploring living in the Southwest, in the Taos area, at some point in my future, because that just keeps popping up. What popped up recently was kind of fun. There's a wonderful site. If folks are on Facebook, Star Brightner has a wonderful site. She's a wonderful jeweler, spiritual jeweler, and she makes wonderful spiritually guided jewelry. And she also has a page called Rocks and Reiki. So I had posted up on that page a stone, because you can put pictures of stones up there, and then everybody kind of guesses what the stone is. So that's a great group to go to if you're interested in rocks and crystals and things like that. But I had posted this picture up, and I had never seen this stone before ever, and it was called Hiddenite. And what's very interesting about this is I put up the stone, and then I looked it up after people had guessed that, yes, indeed, it was Hiddenite. And there is one particular mine of Hiddenite in North Carolina, and it's just one. This Hiddenite stone, which is beautiful, it's like a greenish, moss-colored crystal, just beautiful, comes out of this one mine in North Carolina called Hiddenite. And I guess you can go there and you can gather all different kinds of stones, but the Hiddenite is what it was coined for, because that was where that particular crystal formation was found. So I don't know. It was just interesting. I always pay a lot of attention to magical synchronicities that happen, right? Energies that get very, very gathered around a particular image or experience or place. That's a real way to understand how energy is quickening in our lives, how things are materializing. So anyway, I had a client recently, and they talked to me a little bit about rocking, going out and collecting, gathering rocks. And so we had kind of decided that we would take, me and my partner kind of decided that we would take a trip to North Carolina to do this, because it's a great place to go, and we think we're going to go on the train to do it and travel really, really light and maybe do some couch surfing and meet some people while we're there. And one of the things that popped up was this Hiddenite place, this mine. This person really recommended going there and said that they'd gone there. And then I had decided that I would ask a dear friend of ours if she wanted to join us on this trip. And so called her this morning, and not sure if she'll be able to or not, but I started talking about, you know, the different areas that you can go to, and I started just peripherally researching the area and the different mines in the area. Because to me, the idea of going on a trip where you get to gather things, you get to collect, get to sit on your butt in the middle of a stream and sort through things, like, that's some magical stuff. That's playful stuff. That's what we did when we were kids, you know, finding magical things in the universe, finding magical things in nature makes us feel so enchanted, so connected to nature. So I told her about this, and she had said, you know, that she was interested in going. And then we started talking about the different mines in the area, and she said, oh, well, you know, the one that really is really, really cool, it's called Hiddenite. I was like, yeah, I know. So it's just so funny, because this rock, this stone popped up, I mean, just out of the blue, just because it was pretty. And it was one I hadn't seen before, and I know my stones pretty well. So I was looking for one that I'd never heard of before. And here, come to find that there's this wonderful, enchanting journey that started this amazing energy around this trip and this travel, that kind of, you know, built momentum. And that is really how it happens in our life, when we're able to get off of the path of what we should be doing, you know, the bigger, better, faster, more crowd. And I think often in the metaphysical community, we can even get stuck in this bigger, better, faster, more crowd, right? It's easy to get stuck in this place where we only think something is worthwhile if we know what our course is and we can plan it out and we are guaranteed certain things will happen. But we also know inside that often it's the spontaneous happenings in our life that yield such fruition, such fruit, such wonderful, wonderful gifts and stories and energies that we can connect with. So I'm just excited about where this trip will take us. One of the things that we decided to do, I've just started looking on the couch surfing website. And for folks who don't know what couch surfing is, I know it sounds like, you know, flop house. To me, when I heard about it initially, I thought it sounded like, you know, just, you know, plop on a couch and, you know, everybody's partying around you or something like that. But this is not what this is. This is an amazing movement of people who have chosen to travel differently and connect from different cultures and different places and different lifestyles. So you can go onto the website. It's couchsurfing.com, I believe. And you can go to any state and many countries in the world and find people who will host you. And you know, that hosting can look different. Some people are busy. Some people will take you around different places. We did this last year. We hosted two women who were coming through on a trip before they were getting ready to go to college. And it was such a magical experience because, you know, you can kind of get stuck in a certain place in your life. And these women just, they reminded me so much of my younger self. They were in their early 20s and they were had a lot of vigor and a lot of vitality and a lot of really, really strong ideas. And, you know, and they were just a joy to speak with. I mean, they just knew their mind so well and knew what they wanted to do and had such big, amazing dreams. And I was honestly kind of in a place in my life where I was a little frustrated with my, you know, my not my station, but more my my age. You know, things had kind of become the same, kind of slowed down. And, you know, sometimes when you get older, you don't want to go party because everybody's just, you know, doing the stuff you don't really want to do anymore. And what you really want is a sacred place to connect with people. You want an experience of the sacred without an experience of you know, losing yourself in all this stuff. You know, I mean, a lot of times when we think about the sacred, we think about, you know, experiencing transcendence. But I would rather experience it through dreams, through a magical occurrence of synchronicity than through drugs and alcohol. And so sometimes, like, you think about younger people, and they're in a different place in their life where the drugs and alcohol are, you know, to a certain extent, if they don't get stuck there forever, they're kind of an exciting thing to do for a little while, to explore yourself in that kind of a way, as long as you can do it in a grounded way and you can find meaning and come back to center. So it was just really, really amazing to connect with them because they were in the beginning of this journey and they were very, very excited about their own voices and what they could contribute to the culture and what they felt inside. And so I just got really, really excited spending time with them because they were just so clear and they were at the very beginning of the journey. So that's kind of interesting too because they live in the same area that we will be visiting. So it's just so amazing how stuff comes around and maybe we'll be able to go out and have coffee with them or something like that and reconnect in that way. But I encourage you in your own life, if you are finding yourself in a place where you're doing the same things or you're having a tendency to lack meaning or you're feeling frustrated or you're having trouble holding what Jung calls the tension of the opposites, holding that space between the next thing that's going to happen in your life, I encourage you to just check in with your deep inner resources, your world of imagery, just to close your eyes and notice energetically what really feeds you. As you're going through your day, notice where the energy is in your body and is in your experience and is in your life. I think travel often offers us the opportunity to connect with what the idea of the mythopoetic, right? This world of myth and dreams and poetry and beauty and magic and enchantment. And often when we are on a trip, if we don't overplan and get overly caught up in seeing everything under the sun and not missing anything and don't get too rigid in our plans, often what can happen is we can have this journey within a journey, this wonderful, what I call finding the trail of breadcrumbs, you know, to this new place, whether it be, you know, a candy house or whether it be, of course I'm talking metaphorically, or whether it be a new interest, this sort of thing. But if we cannot get too caught up in this place where we have to do something, there is a richness that lies in store there. So I'm really excited. We're going to take this trip. We're going to take the train. We're going to leave the car in Cleveland, and we're going to take the train, which is just such a wonderful way to travel because it's light and it's easy. And then we're going to stay in different people's homes. And you can also open up your own home with couch surfing. It's really kind of amazing. And the stories that people have and the things people share when they're on a journey are sometimes different. The way that they see things are sometimes different than they might be when they are surrounded by all the things that they have to do, you know, the getting and spending and the more industry part, the more work part of life. So we're really, really excited to take this journey. One of the things that people who have listened to Inner Voice before know that I do is I have this jar out that is it's a jar that I got at the thrift store, and I was looking for like a really big, beautiful mason jar and like a kind of off different color, like gold or rose tinted glass or something like that. But what I found, and it's just so funny how, you know, how you're going through your life and you're going fast and you're not paying attention to things. What I found was this huge, big Hellman's mayonnaise jar. It's like a huge, whopping jar. And I'll tell you what I did with it and what you can do with it as well. But it's this whopping jar, like, you know, a camp-sized, you know, feed a whole camp full of kids, you know, tuna fish sandwiches or, you know, a big, big mayonnaise jar. And what it has in the top of it are these holes that someone has poked. And so I'm like, okay, the jar is big enough. I'm in a hurry, and I grab the jar, and I go home. And what I realized after I started putting pieces of paper in the jar, which have wonderful, amazing things that I've manifested, is that this is some kid's jar that they gathered lightning bugs in because it's got the little holes, or they put little salamanders in or something because it's got these little holes in the top of the lid, right? So this is a jar, a magical jar, where children went out and collected something from nature and put it in there and watched it and hopefully fed it and watched it change. Maybe they put a caterpillar in there that became a butterfly. But this is a jar that is about the energy of transformation. It's about, if it was lightning bugs, it's about having that space of illumination. It's about the magic of childhood. So what more perfect thing than this jar to put these manifestation notes in? Now, what you do with your jar, I've talked about this concept before, and I really like it. I'm really excited about it. I'm in the process right now of getting ready to write a book with a dear, dear friend who I went to Pacifica with, which is the school that I graduated from with my counseling degree. And we both spent a lot of time while we were there on campus. And now through Skype, we are working through this amazing program, which we are actually making more amazing by the way we're doing it. We are doing it's a program of manifestation. So it's a program that's about the law of attraction. And we're reading together and we're talking together about our experiences of manifesting. And so I've gotten this jar out. This was going around Facebook a while back with this idea of this jar. And in the post, what it said was, you know, put in pieces of paper in there of things that you have wanted to manifest but then you did manifest, or things that came true. And put them in there, and on New Year's Eve, pull them all out and read them and see what you've been able to manifest throughout the year. But I wanted to be more pragmatic with my jar. So what I did was, first of all, I got a gazillion different colored paper because it's fun to look up and see all this colored paper in this magical jar. But what I did was I charted my own synchronistic experiences from the figurative, right, the symbol, or how they show up in claircognizance or clairvoyance or these sorts of magical connections with intuition, to how they become real in the world. So, I mean, and these can be anything. They're just something that helps us know that the universe is playful with us, is curious and excited about what it is we want to manifest, that we're on a journey with the universe. So, like just the other day, it was so funny. I was at a coffee shop. I had a client that I was seeing, and at the end I decided to go and get a salad at this little restaurant around the corner. And I asked for, and I've been doing this thing where, you know, I have a tendency to know what I want and to be really like, I want this. But then I've been doing this thing where if people don't get it, I just kind of go, oh, okay, it's okay. I put it out there. Sooner or later, it'll come to me. And there's something about knowing that I want it that then I don't have to have it. so much. So I've just been kind of letting it go and not being so, trying not to be so demanding in terms of what my expectations of a situation are. So I'd gotten a salad and I really like tahini on it. So I had said to the people, you know, oh, well, I'd like some tahini and a couple extras, you know, just charge me whatever you want to for that. And they didn't get that when it came on the menu. They didn't. I went over to pick up my food, and they hadn't. That part of the message hadn't gotten there. So I just thought, oh well, that's no big deal. I have some good dressing at home. I'll just, you know, I'll just make do, and it'll be good. And you know, this just isn't the time to get this big thing. And then the guy like looked at me and he said, here, and he like put all this tahini in a little flat container, like a little, you know, to go. Flat container that had enough for about four salads, and he was like, here you go. And it's almost like by letting go of it, by not needing it so much, and I talk about this in the work that I'm doing with my my colleague on the book, we open up the space to have it. So like not needing it, you know, when we're in that need-based space, and I think often what happens when we're in that manifesting place, kind of like the secret and that sort of stuff, we're coming from a place of need. We're coming from a place where we need something to be a certain way. And so we're feeling an energy of lack in our bodies about it. But when we go into the place where we're like curious and excited and, you know, well, I don't know what really happened with that whole salad thing, but they didn't get that piece, but it doesn't really matter anyway. And we kind of pardon them. And there's an amazing movie, which I'm not going to remember. I watched it once and was blown away, and now I cannot remember the title. So if anyone out there has seen this movie and knows what it is, I would love to know what it is. As a matter of fact, if someone knows what it is and I watch it and it is the right movie, I will offer you a half-hour free reading via Skype or telephone. That is how badly I want to know what this movie is. But anyway, it's the story where the person is kind of frustrated and kind of wanting to manifest certain things, and they don't know how to do it. And then someone comes along and tells them this story about the power of pardoning. And so they start going, I pardon you, I pardon you, I pardon you. And then they move into this place in themselves where they don't need to manifest or don't need to have something show up in the same way anymore, because they've moved through to the place of letting go, of needing it to materialize. And that we know on an intuitive level, that we know on a quantum level, opens up space for that to appear. It quickens the energy. It builds the momentum. So it was really, really fun. I came home and I was just so excited because I didn't say anything about it. The message didn't get that far. And then I really feel like they pick up on it energetically for me. And often I think that, you know, that we can pick up energetically from other people. But I think, too, when we send the energy out lovingly of what we would like to have and send it out without an expectation, but send it out with just a wonderful curiosity and delight, that then that opens up the space for that to happen. So that was really, really a lot of fun, a fun experience, and little but so meaningful to me. So look for those little things in your life that start to materialize and come through in that magical way for you. And sometimes if you can let go of the need, if you can notice energetically where you are and tend to the need, notice if you feel a need to have to materialize something. Notice if you're in a place of scarcity with it, or if you're in a place of excitement and curiosity with it, because it's a very different feeling in your body. And the more you allow yourself to be in the place of noticing the need but not reacting to it, not moving from that place, and instead allowing yourself to shift the energy to one of delight and curiosity and letting go or pardoning, the more that you will find that things will come magically to you, and the more you will appreciate, enjoy, and have gratitude for them when they do. So I want to tell you a little bit about this book that we're writing. I'm so excited about it. For those who have listened to the show before, I've been working on a book now on intuitive tarot reading and working with tarot clinically in counseling and from a Jungian perspective, from an intuitive perspective. But I have not, I've gotten about halfway done with that book, and it was working really, really well, and then I kind of hit a bump. And I'm kind of getting out of that bump and gathering the energy to write the rest of it. But in the meantime, I'm doing this Law of Attraction class with my friend, and we are just so excited about the material that we're generating from this Law of Attraction class. So one of the things that we're doing, we're creating exercises as we go along with this Law of Attraction class. And we're talking about where in our lives we have been able to materialize and create momentum, build momentum around our intuition and seeing it through to coming to fruition, to into coming to materializing what we want, to having it materialize in our lives. And we've both noticed that we've done it differently in different ways. And, you know, sometimes when we talk about the Law of Attraction, we think of it, first of all, we think of it in terms of big ticket items. And like I just told that story about the tahini, it doesn't have to be big ticket items to bring us joy. But the other piece is that a lot of times we materialize things differently, or we have different levels of ability to materialize based on the backstory that we were given in our families, that we were given in our lives about our worthiness and our ability and our right to be able to manifest something. So we were talking about this idea, and I think it's really, really interesting. We know that when we have single-pointed focus, right, that in every aspect of our lives, we bring energy and vitality and images into the fore for what we want to materialize, that quickens and builds momentum around the energy. And we know that when we don't, when we're in a place where we're more unconscious, or we're struggling with our defenses, we're struggling with, avoidance, or we're struggling with worthiness, with issues of worthiness. We're rationalizing, is it worthy, is it okay for us to materialize, is it okay for us to have this, that the energy deadens and that the energy is not as quickened. It's not as built up. It's not as powerful. It's not as strong. So we got really, really interested in how in our lives we had materialized a lot and then how we struggled in certain other areas in our lives. So one of the areas that I've really been very, very blessed to be able to materialize amazingly in is areas of health. I have had experiences of spontaneous healing from the time that I was pretty small. I never get very sick. I never stay sick. I don't really talk about illness a lot. I don't invest a lot in the energy of the idea of being sick. I don't have conversations with people about how sick I feel or what symptoms I have typically. I really try to keep the momentum built around that. I've had some very, very magical things happen. I had heel spurs for a long time in my life, and I started working with my podiatrist to do some meditation, some affirmations. I asked him if I could do this, and he tapered me off medication that I was on for over a year. Those heel spurs have gone away, and I started just saying, I don't think that I'm going to have these anymore. I don't think I'm going to need this anymore. And so I changed on a quantum level my belief about my need to experience that symptom. And they went away. They've been gone now for 5 years. Every once in a while when I get really stressed out or when I eat too many things that have inflammatory properties, I'll get a little bit of phantom pains. And then I'll just say, oh, that's a phantom pain, and it'll go away. So there's this thing about illness and about health where if we can stay in the place of believing that we have a right to be healthy, then we know that our body responds to that. And that's one way in my life that I can look across the board. I can say relationships, career, where have you been the most successful at manifesting? And the place I've been the most successful in about manifesting is in terms of health and issues related to health. And along with that, I just recently I had some pain. I have not had my wisdom teeth pulled, and I had some pain in the back of my mouth there. And, it was kind of tight, and I could feel that the teeth were starting to move up a little bit. And I started to be worried about, you know, how these are going to come up and if I'm going to need surgery or this sort of stuff. And I just don't really like to get surgery. I like to work with oils. I like to work with teas and herbs as much as I can. I like to juice. I'm just not a big pharma girl. So basically, I just asked these symptoms to abate. And within about 2 days, they've abated. And it was really tight back there. I mean, there was a lot of inflammation back there. And I just saw it working its way through. I saw it, you know, going down. I didn't bring any fear into the experience of what I was feeling. And it abated. It just lessened. So in my life, I've been really successful in that way. Now, it's been more difficult for me because of the limiting beliefs that my family has had around self-worth with money and with material things that are money related. And that's a place where I'm working on rewriting my story, my script about my self-worth, my deservedness. And I still struggle there. I've had a lot of success by not moving into a fear-based place. But that is the place I struggle. But I've never struggled with health. And the reason I've never struggled is because there were no limiting beliefs. I mean, my parents didn't believe in any sort of intuition, manifestation, affirmations. They were very, very, you know, body and mind are separate. Science is one thing. Better not get something. And they were very physical in their way of responding. They didn't believe in this quantum stuff. And in light of that fact, I never got into any conversations with them about it. When we were sick, we, you know, were kind of away from the rest of the family. We weren't, we didn't have conversations about being sick. We just kind of went away till we got better. And so I didn't really get any limiting beliefs about sickness. And, you know, when I did tell my dad about the heel spurs, he said, oh, that's your dancing partner. And that's when I knew, like, oh, no, 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 no. I said, what do you mean it's my dancing partner? He said, oh, you'll have that for the rest of your life. And I said, no, I won't. And that's when I became really, really clear that I didn't want to have these for the rest of my life. This was painful, and I didn't want to have this experience. I didn't want to bring it into the future. And that's when I knew that my opinion, my feeling about it, and my family's was really, really different. But there was a void around a conversation about health and wellness and healing. And because of that, I came out scot-free, and I was able to create my own belief system. I don't have any limiting beliefs about health. I have a lot of limiting beliefs about money. So, you know, we all come in karmically with a different sets of stressors, different things that pull energy up in us, that different places where it's easy for us and different places where it's difficult for us. And so I invite you, I encourage you to look at all the different areas of your life. Imagine it like a pie wheel. And when this book does come out, this will be offered as an exercise in the book. Imagine it like a pie, career, relationships, friendships, health, recreation, travel, these sorts of things. And think to myself, where have I been able to manifest? And when you do this, don't say to yourself, now, if it wasn't bigger than a bread box, it wasn't manifestation. Because what makes the manifesting powerful is how you feel about it. The joy, the delight that it evokes in you is so much more important than how big it is or how much worthwhile it is to the person looking at it. So this is based on your own feeling of what's important and empowering and inspiring and beautiful and desirous to you. To me last night, it was a big container of tahini. Right. So what I'm saying to you is look at your whole life across the board and notice energetically where it was that you've been an excellent, amazing manifester. And then trace that back and notice what your messages were from your family, from your first formative experiences, in your earliest jobs, in your earliest relationships? Did you get a go, a yes, I love hearing you talk about manifestation, I believe that you can heal yourself, or did you get a no? Did you get a lot of connections with limiting beliefs around the places where you struggle and in the places where you're good? And there is one area for each one of us where we have had a lot of success. It may not have been what was stressed in our family of origin, but we may have had a lot of success there and discounted it because it wasn't important in our family story, right? It's kind of funny when I think about my own story and when I started to do this work with this manifestation and with this pie chart, because I've always been excellent with healing and health issues. I mean, just amazing. I have several stories that are just short of miraculous. And I didn't ever think that that was a form of manifestation until I realized, until I was able to go back and say, wow, you know, manifestation is more than just being able to manifest a thing. It's about manifesting the things that are important in your life and being able to craft a life that speaks to you on an energetic level and that feels natural to you. And so this healing piece is huge. I mean, I saved probably thousands of dollars. I've not had health insurance for, 20 years? And I've not needed it. The worst I've ever had was a little bit of flu here and there. I mean, I really am very, very blessed in that. And I and my family of origin has a lot of health problems on both sides, and I don't. And I believe it's because I was not given limiting beliefs. I was not given limiting beliefs in that arena. So I encourage you to look at your own life and figure out where in your pie chart you are excellent at manifesting. Start making a list of the things you've been able to manifest and notice it felt sense-wise. Go into your below your head, go into your heart and your body, hold it in your different chakra points, in your root chakra, in your sacral chakra, which is just below your belly button, in your third chakra, which is your solar plexus chakra, which is right there in your diaphragm, right above your belly button, in your heart chakra, in your throat chakra, in your sixth chakra, which is your third eye chakra, and in your crown. Notice where you hold the energy of delight. Notice where you hold the energy of responsiveness, because those will really, really tell you where you've been able to manifest, and then notice what your limiting beliefs in the area that you weren't able to manifest. And when I talk about limiting beliefs, what I mean is that if you can't go through and talk about something, like say you have a limiting belief around your self-worth, say you have a limiting belief around your desirability, what will happen is your conversation around it will get really muddy. You will feel a little bit real scared when you start to stay in that place and ask those questions about your desirability. You know, maybe you'll get really confused, or you'll do what Freud calls reaction formation, where you say the opposite of what you're really feeling. And that's because it wasn't okay for you to have clear ideas there, because whatever your culture, whatever your family's belief was, trumped your ability to create your own belief about what was true. So I encourage you to just hold that feeling of discomfort and allow yourself to see, if you hold it and you don't imagine it out there, you don't imagine that someone's telling you, you can't do this, you don't deserve this, you're not attractive, but you hold it and you imagine that it was something that you came to believe yourself, and then you confront yourself with it and say, I don't believe this is true anymore. It still makes me uncomfortable to not believe that this is true, but I don't believe it's true anymore. You start to dismantle that limiting belief. And as you do that, what happens is you start to open up the possibility on a quantum level to have other experiences, to have other responses, other ways of connecting with the energy that are more that build momentum so you can tell the story differently in your life. So I encourage you to do that. The one other thing we're working on right now with this book, and I'm telling you, this book is just like, I could sit down and write the whole thing right now. There are no blocks. There is no, it's really clear stuff, and I'm really excited to write it with my friend because I think we have complementary styles and skills. So I think it's going to be a great, great piece. But the other thing that I encourage you to do is to create a vision board for yourself, to create the things that you would like to bring into your life. You can do this however you want. You can write it out. You can draw pictures. You can pull pictures out of magazines. Whichever style of learning appeals to you, that is the way you should do it. So maybe you make a tape that has all of the music that is the stuff that you want to bring in your life. That would be a very clairaudient way to do it. So you get my drift. So do that and then move those things. When you start to see them materialize in the world, off of your vision board and into your jar, and notice the steps that it took to get from here to there, to make it go from the figurative, right, the feeling, the energy around it, into the actual materializing it in the external world, getting that energetic match in the external world, because it is such a wonderful, magical journey to move things from the figurative and into the literal, into the real world, so you can hold it in your hand, or so you can say, I've had that experience. And instead of going into the place of entitlement, right, I shoulda, woulda, coulda, my best friend does, my next door neighbor has, I don't. Instead of going into that place of judgment about where you're at with it, go into that place of curiosity about the stage that you're in with materializing it, how close it's come into your hands, how much people around you have been talking about it. Like with the hidden night that I talked about in the earlier part of the story, and how it just started to come, the energy around this trip just started to materialize around me. So I encourage you to have fun with that. I encourage you to have fun with all the law of attraction stuff. Notice your limiting beliefs. Allow yourself to be in that uncomfortable place where you start to move through them instead of projecting them onto other people, right? Imagining that other people are telling you these things. And if other people are telling you these things, if they're holding the limiting beliefs, get away from them. Get around people who are going to reinforce your dreams, reinforce the magic that's going on in your life, who want to see you be able to materialize and draw things to you, because that will help build the momentum as well. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive tonight. Check out the show next week. We will have Michael Mapes, and that should be just a wonderful, amazing hour, because he really is a wonderful speaker, and he really thinks on his feet and has a huge heart and wants to see you succeed in every way, shape, and form that you can. So anyway, thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. I'm going to take us out with Star Williams' The Blessings, which is all about synchronicity and manifestation. And where is it? Did it somehow get? Well, there it is. Okay. So listen to the lyrics here, because this is all about noticing synchronicity.
My name says a full time fool. The joke is on me. I got all those birds flying off of the tree. That's lucky. And the blessings were like poets that we never find time. But when time stopped, I found a place where the way yet go.
Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, connect with magic, inspire magic, feel magic, create magic. That is what we're here for. Take good care.